Public scripture reading, which is Psalm 31. And the first thing that we need to understand about this particular psalm is that it is not a psalm confining itself to one singular theme, but rather David is looking more at a collage of his experience in walking with God. And the first of these experiences is what we might call the position David always enjoyed. The position David always enjoyed, which is in verses 1 through 8. In these particular verses, we find the joy and confidence of David's faith, which was always fixed in the glory of who God is and who the Lord is personally to David. And there are at least four very specific things that we can draw out of these first eight verses. In the first place, the Lord is David's protection. The Lord is David's protection. Verses 1 through 4, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge." Three times in these four verses, David identifies God as his refuge, his refuge. And so there is no place of greater security, no place of greater stability than the Lord himself. David looks to the Lord in the great shadow of great trouble and tribulation, and there he finds his protection. God is his refuge. Secondly, David rejoices in the truth of who God is as the one true eternal living God. You see this in verses 5 and 6. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord." Notice what David, notice the contrast he's making there in verse 6. "I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols," to those who worship false gods, to those who give regard to, who give allegiance to that which is no God. David says, "No, the Lord whom I worship is the true and living God. My trust is in him, for he is faithful God." And so David rejoices in the truth of who God is as the one true, eternal, living God. There is no other God but the Lord. No other God but the Lord. And that is the principal driving point in those two verses. Thirdly, David takes heart in God's compassion. Verse 7, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. What we see here is that there is nothing cold, nothing clinical, nothing distant about the Lord. He doesn't stand off from us in our affliction, but he's there with us in our deepest trials. Remember what David says in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You, Lord, are with me. My rod, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. So even in the darkest of times, David takes heart in God's compassion. Because as he says, you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. God is never unaware of what his children are experiencing, what we are going through. No, he's more than just aware. He is there with us in that valley. And he shows great compassion upon us there. But then fourthly, in verse 8, David is grateful in God's sustaining power and limitless supply. David is grateful in God's sustaining power and limitless supply. He says, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Despite the pressure, despite the stress, despite the feeling that everything is closing in on us with no room to move, much less to breathe, God sets our feet in a broad place. A broad place where we can stand and walk with no mishaps, with nothing to hinder what we need most. God's grace is sufficient to sustain us, and his supply is boundless. It's limitless. It's infinite to meet our every single need. You understand that? There is no need we have that God cannot meet. There is no need we have that he cannot provide. No. Indeed, we have his promise in Philippians 4:19 that he shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now note that. He shall supply all our need, but according to what? Is it according to what man has? Is it according to man's riches? No. No, because the riches of man, Proverbs tells us, is here today and gone tomorrow. There's no sufficiency in the riches of man. No, this is according to God's riches in Christ Jesus, limitless, boundless, infinite. To meet us in our every trial, in our every single need. This reminds me of what Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he writes of that pesky thorn that was given him in the flesh. A thorn given him in the flesh, which he says was actually a messenger of Satan to harass him, to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he, the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. The Lord did not deliver the thorn from Paul's flesh. Paul pleaded three times for the deliverance. God did not deliver. Instead, God gave something greater to Paul. My grace is enough for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. And so, what was Paul's response then to that? He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But what was happening for Paul? What was the Lord doing for Paul? He was setting his feet in a broad place. A broad place where he could breathe. Where the stress was not crushing him. Where the pressure was not pulverizing him. And so it is that we see here with David. And beloved, here is the point of it all. This is the joy of our faith. This is the joy of our faith, that even in the shadow of trouble, we stand in a broad place with confidence. Why? Because the Lord is our God. And you see, that's what verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 31 leave us with. Verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 31 do not leave us with man. They leave us with God. They leave us with the Lord. David is not looking to his right or to his left to see, well, what can man do to help me out here? No, David says, the Lord is my refuge. My eyes are fixed in faith on Him. And this is where his joy came from. This is where his joy came from. And it's no different, beloved. It's no different for any of us who are the people of God. No different. What makes you any different than David? I mean, other than a multiplicity of certain kinds of experiences, but David worshiped and served the same God you do. David's hope and faith was in the same God your hope and faith is in. And the Lord who met David in all his trials and troubles is the same Lord and God who meets you in all your trials and troubles. Because you see, the Lord doesn't change. He doesn't change. Now, granted, everything in our personal lives change. Every day is a day of flux, a day of changing. Today is the first day of a new year. You know, oh, change. We're looking back, we're looking forward, and everything around us is change. But with God, what does the Lord remind us? What does He tell us in His Word about Himself? I am the Lord your God, I change not. I change not. And do you know it's because of His immutability that we can turn to Him at all times, in all circumstances, and call upon Him even as David called upon Him centuries and centuries ago, and realize we are addressing the same Lord and God as David did? He's our refuge as well. He is our fortress, our rock. And therefore, He is the foundation of our joy and our trust and our confidence, no different than David. Because the Lord doesn't change. Thank God He doesn't change. Everything else changes. And frankly, it stresses us out. Especially for particular people in their natural temperament who hate change completely, despise it. Well, just look to the Lord, for those of you who really hate change. And remember, God doesn't change. That's encouraging. That is encouraging. Let's pray. Our holy, eternal Father, we are grateful. And we do find it, Lord, to be our greatest joy that You, the Lord our God, changes not. And therefore, everything that you have revealed to us about who you are in your glory and greatness and goodness and power from your holy word. We know, Father, that what we read in the revelation of your scriptures concerning yourself is always true. It's always true about you. And so we take great comfort and encouragement today that when we read in Psalm 31 of what David was addressing and communicating to you in prayer, Lord, personally, that you are his rock and his fortress, that you are his refuge. Blessed Father, we thank you that the same is true for us in regards to who you are, because you do not change. And so we affirm with joy today that you, as it was for David, you are also our rock and fortress and refuge. You are the one who protects us. You are the one, Lord, who sustains us. You are the one who supplies all of our need. And we know, Lord, therefore, that as you teach us and as you command us in your word, there is nothing in our lives that we can legitimately, justifiably be anxious and worried over, because our times are indeed in your hand and you are providing everything we need, meeting us where we are, even in our greatest trials. And we thank you for that, blessed Father. We thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that for any of us here today, in the light of what we have read and what we have meditated upon in Psalm 31, for any of us whose faith in you, Lord, is struggling because we feel more the pressure of our present circumstances than truly reveling in the joy of who you are, we pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen our confidence in you, and by that we trust in you for the grace to conquer all our anxiety, to conquer every worry. And so by that, Lord, we cast all our cares on you today. And we do so all because of who you are. And besides you, Lord, we know and confess according to your word, there is no other. There is no other. And there is none your equal. For all of these things, we give you thanks. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, for his sake we pray. Amen.